You're listening to Meeting Pod, the podcast powered by Meeting Place, the premier magazine and news source for the meat and poultry processing industry, and Alt Meat Magazine, the only business information resource for the exploding alternative meat industry. Welcome. I'm Chris Scott, host of Meeting Pod and contributing editor at Meeting Place and Alt Meat Magazines. Protein companies are taking bold steps by using high-tech equipment in processing plants to improve efficiencies, yields, and keep up with shifting consumer demand. Our guest today will provide some context about how these new systems are helping Cargill Incorporated meet these goals through a new high-tech effort across its protein plants. Enrique Villars is Cargill North America's manufacturing excellence leader. Our conversation today will focus on development of what Cargill calls the factory of the future and how it's moving the Minneapolis-based company forward as it modernizes its North American protein operations. Thanks for joining us today on Meeting Pod, Enrique.
Thank you very much for having me here, Chris. It's a pleasure and an honor to be participating in this podcast.
And right back at you. Let's start by looking at the scope of this $700 million effort, which includes the installation of digital and automated functions that so far involve more than 120 active projects in 35 facilities in North America. Can you give us a sense of the types of functions these systems are performing at the various plants?
Yeah, sure. So very happy to do so. So in principle, what we're trying to do here is to provide more means of automation to the different facilities and plants, create and have digital solutions for the plants as well as the use of advanced analytics in order to perform better. Some of these things that we're doing, for example, on the automation side, might be putting robots around certain parts of the facility or automated equipment to help in many different aspects, like on the ergonomy side, on the safety side, reducing some challenging and dangerous tasks, for example, like interacting with bandsaws and such. The other thing is that we also try to reduce repetitive motions. So for example, we have certain facilities in which we are moving boxes and loading boxes into pallets and such. Well, I mean, putting robots in to do and perform this task help to eliminate repetitive movements and therefore the potential of ergonomic injuries coming after that. The fact that we're having automation as well help us on the increase the reliability on certain operations, help us increase our capacity on throughput, help us on many different aspects, really. And automation is a route that many other industries have taken in the past, and the food and beverage industry is catching up, I would say, in many of these fundamental things, but also doing very interesting things on the innovation side. On the digital solution side and the analytics, there's a lot of things going on in that space. And it's the fact that we generate a lot of data in our day-to-day operation and how we can use that data to make better decisions going. So in summary, it's automation, advanced analytics, and digital tools that we're providing for the different facilities.
And it is interesting that this is following efforts by the auto industry from many years ago, which found great success in efficiency, et cetera. Now, some of the benefits of the program include making operations more efficient overall, maintaining or improving safety standards within the plants, and boosting sustainability metrics. Cargill, as you said, also can use digital tools and data analytics to increase efficiency. What do you see these new systems offering managers right off the bat?
Well, it's very simple. It's having that information at the fingertips rather than to wait for the manual data or to wait for that gathering, analyze and interpretation of that data. So general terms, you save a lot of times. You're able to make quicker decision faster to be able to avoid anything that is going on the floor. It's just having that timely information to be able to take decisions and move forward.
Now, the Cargill beef plant in Dodge City, Kansas, already is using automated saw lines that separate meat from the bone using a 3D vision system that scans the meat to establish the most efficient cutting path once it's loaded onto the line. What were some of the aspects of the earlier processing operation that signaled that it might be time to upgrade the existing systems by using high-tech options?
That's a very good question. I think that the very first thing that we thought about was the safety concern that we have with these saws. So we want to avoid any injuries with this sharp saw. I mean, safety for sure was one of the first things that we had there. The second thing was trying to solve some high turnover due to ergonomic challenges on those positions. And third, I will believe that it will be have a more consistent product that we can deliver to our customer by putting this type of technologies.
Now, we'll get into the employee end of this a little later, but I would assume that having employees move away from repetitive tasks and potentially injury-causing movement is giving them some relief as well from their side.
Yes, it does. It does give them the relief. It contributes to the well-being of all the employees, for sure.
And loyalty, of course.
Sure.
Okay. Now, Cargill's approach focused on upgrades within existing operations versus other U.S. protein processors who are opening new high-tech plants from scratch that incorporate many of these automated solutions. How was that decision reached at Cargill, and what would you describe as the benefits of this approach versus those of other companies?
I mean, everybody loves to have a brand new facility with the latest high-tech, but I mean, it takes time, it takes a lot of money. And in our case, we have plants that are in very good shape. There are others that are a little bit older. But in general terms is that this approach that we took enables to move faster, to execute and try on the innovations side faster. Building a new facility can take you a considerable amount of time, and we just don't have time. I mean, consumers are demanding innovation on the products faster than any time before, and we need to be ready to do that. So the approach that we had was how we can do and execute any of the solution faster. Also, it's about deliver more a near-term value across our operation, having that agility and that ability to deploy those capabilities across the different plant operations. And the other thing is that it allows us also to scale that up across the different facilities. When you have several plants across the North America region, you try something innovative and works and how you can replicate to the other facilities. So that capacity to scale things up, it was pretty interesting the way that we did approach into this program.
That's a very fascinating aspect of efficiency that most people don't think of, because it gives you that flexibility to test out systems at one plant before it goes into someplace else versus building an entire thing and hoping it works over time.
So it's all about trying things fast, pivot quicker, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you move on to the next thing. It's having that agility. Again, is we're responding to customer and consumer needs that they want things faster and quicker, and they need more information about their products and all that.
Okay, well, now the Factory of the Future concept is expected to cover 3 years of upgrades as Cargill is better able to measure how well the efficiencies are affecting North American plant workers and the overall bottom line. Now, I want you to pull out a very tiny crystal ball and give us an idea of what might be in store for Cargill after 2027.
Yeah, so to start with, I think that our program of Factory of the Future has been an exceptional, successful program. And we want more of it. We want to continue. We want to go further than that. We want to continue to deploy those digital analytics and automation solutions that we have been. It's a high-paced, evolving area that it will just continue to evolve at a very high rate. And we want to continue to do that. So as the technology evolves and as the customers and consumer needs evolve as well, we need to be evolving with them as an organization. So right now, I mean, there are new things coming out that we were not talking about them 2 or 3 years ago. Everybody's talking about AI and artificial intelligence will play a role, and how the computer vision of that artificial intelligence play a role. And those are transformative technologies, and they will play a role in the future. So something that we're looking forward to continue to explore and evolve. So I think that it's just the rate of change that we're seeing in the technologies at this moment in time. It's fascinating and will need us to continue to go beyond what we initially expected on a 3-year plan that we originally had. But it's more of the new way that we will manage our manufacturing operations.
So you're adopting a new way of thinking in addition to thinking about what might be developed between now and, say, 3 to 5 years from now, technologies that we might not even have heard of so far.
That is correct. We don't know what is coming that it will be invented in the next 5 years. Again, using the example of AI, I mean, before 2019 or before that, and nobody was talking about that other than on a very rare occasions. But now it's even more present, more predominant in our conversations. And we don't know what is next also. So we need to be very aware, and it's just changed the way that we look at technology, the way that we look at embracing that next thing that is out there, and how we can implement that on a very fast pace to be able to meet any customer demand and deliver any value to the operations of the facility.
And it makes the company more nimble in all kinds of ways that haven't even been discovered yet. Let's take a quick break for a word from the sponsor of this Meeting Pod episode, Paratherm.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Paratherm. Paratherm has been a leading provider of food-grade heat transfer fluids for over 35 years. They offer several food-grade heat transfer fluids that are registered with NSF HT1, making them suitable for use in food processing systems. Many top systems in the food processing industry, including some of the largest food processors globally, rely on Paratherm's fluid technology for their critical operations. In addition to their heat transfer fluids, Paratherm also provides users with an extensive fluid analysis program. They have a state-of-the-art on-site laboratory where their expert lab team conducts real-time testing. By performing a combination of laboratory testing, Paratherm's technical specialist can provide an effective analysis of the current condition of the fluid. Each analysis report includes recommendations for continued maintenance and tips on how to extend the life of the fluid. Now back to today's podcast.
And we're back with Enrique Villars of Cargill. Let's take a look at how the high-tech systems and data tools are affecting the current workforce. Beyond potentially improving plant worker safety and cutting meat from carcasses and addressing supply chain challenges in the warehouse, what are strategies that are being used to help the plant employees keep up with the changes themselves?
That's a very interesting question. I would say that by deploying a strong change management strategy and executing that management of change at the floor level is super important for the adoption of these technologies. In many cases, you have employees that get really excited really quick when they see their capabilities. In certain cases, it takes a little bit longer. It's putting ourselves into the shoes of those who are performing the task at the floor and run at their pace and meet them there. So we can help them to understand the new technology, help them to upscale their skills, help them to do a better job with this new technology. And it all goes back to the training and development in order to develop those skills. So it's a combination of change management, training, development, being very considerate of the people that we have on the floor and that they're managing these technologies. Again, we have all over the spectrum of adoption, but the majority of the cases, people are welcoming things that help. People are wanting to try this thing that will make their task easier.
You've dovetailed exactly into my next question. Have there been any surprises among employees as they receive the training and improve their expertise regarding plant floor operations as part of this program?
They're very excited about it, to be part of something new, to learn additional skills. Sometimes they're surprised on how effective the technology is, especially people that has been on the floor for a long period of time. They have doubts at the beginning if the technology will work or not. And when they found out how good it is, they're completely in. They are very engaged. Some of the facilities, they have even named their robots. I had a very interesting experience the other day. I was visiting one of our facilities. We just had implemented one particular piece of equipment there on the automation side, an automated piece of equipment. An employee that has been working for us for a long time was so happy to welcome us, but he was like trying to hug us and say, thank you for putting this machine here. You don't know how my life has changed because I have this that helped me. And it was a very moving story because that was unexpected. We were just walking the floor of that facility, and the employee knew that we were part of the team that were helping put this technology together. Came very natural out of this employee reaching out to us and say, hey, you changed the way that I work. Thank you for that. And he was so happy. That really made my day right there. I mean, this is exactly what we want.
That's a great story. And of course, news like that travels through the plant and other plants very quickly, which will help in adoption in other places and in other areas.
Yeah. So telling that story, telling that experience from one plant to the other, right?
Absolutely.
There are plants that they are hesitating to try it. And then when they hear stories like this, it's like, hey, there must be something good out of this. Let's try it. And they're more open to it and all that. So we have several examples of very powerful stories. The other day, again, I was visiting another plant as well. And similar story, person that was super engaged, super happy to have. In this case, he was on the palletizing side. Mm-hmm. We had a cobot, which is a collaborative robot. So it's a little bit different than the traditional robot that is putting boxes on a pallet and building a pallet of finished goods. But in this particular case, it's a collaboration between the human and the robot to make the human safe on the interaction with that robot, right? And we put up a series of these cobots on that floor. And the person that was running that particular part of the operation there was, again, super welcoming and happy and say, hey, I mean, this is great. And how the life of this person changed. I mean, all the repetitive motion that this person needs to do every single day to load pallets and such. And this is a very small footprint. And that's why we went and tried the cobots there. And it worked perfectly good. And the employee is super happy with that.
That's great. Now, I have to ask this next question. Yeah. Are there any concerns that some employees may move on to other protein companies after they've gone through the specialized training that's part of the new Cargill paradigm?
I wouldn't think that is a concern. I think that in reality, this helps on the engagement of the people with the company. The reality of the whole industry is that many companies are moving into this smart manufacturing, factory of the future, industry 4.0, however you like to call it. It will be just a new standard on how we work. Not necessarily concerning. I think that it empowers the employee. They made them more engaged on what we're trying to do. So not really a concern.
Okay. Now, at least one of your competitors is working with local community colleges to co-develop academic programs, internships, and other opportunities that give students a direct pipeline to jobs that they've already been trained to do in a high-tech processing plant. Is this something that Cargill might consider in the future as the current workforce ages and departs the meat industry?
That's a very interesting question, Chris. So I think that we're working closer and closer with the local college and university, looking for that partnership. And we have been exploring many different avenues on how to help the different communities to raise up the skill levels. It's something that I know that other people in the industry are doing, and we are also doing it, which is to reach out, to collaborate, to build that partnership relationship and explore, because each one of the facilities have the different challenges when it comes to the developing of the academic programs or the development of that. But we have several examples of we reaching out to the college or the college reaching out to us and begin to work on a collaborative environment. I think that this is more and more important. The skill set that you need on the workforce, not only the ones that are operating, but the ones that are also maintaining and sustaining this type of technologies, it's different. It requires more training, more education. At the end, it will be good for the employees because, I mean, we're eliminating repetitive tasks and we are upskilling the employee workforce and providing them with means to have a better livelihood.
And opportunities, absolutely. And finally, the advances in processing that the Factory of the Future program is bringing to Cargill's meat plants also include such areas as plant worker scheduling, automated storage, and retrieval of boxes of beef produced at the Dodge City plant, for example. Are there other horizons that Cargill might need to consider be placed under this high-tech umbrella?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that earlier around what is coming next on artificial intelligence, computer vision, and all these technologies that are under infancy, I would say. And it's something that certainly everybody will be looking at how they develop. We're also looking how these technologies, AI, is integrating more and more with robots and or automation. Again, a natural step there just because you have so much data and information coming out of all these automated equipment. And also looking at some of the technology and how also the automation part will evolve on the collaborative environment with humans and how the machines can complement the work of humans by eliminating the hazards, by eliminating the repetitive motions and have that safe environment in which they can coexist. So I think that the future is pretty exciting on the technology side. It's something that 20 years ago, you will never think that we will be doing things like this. And now, because of the pace of the evolution of the technology changing so fast and so quick, that is really exciting. And yeah, in certain cases, we don't know what will be happening in 5-10 years in terms of the evolution of that technology. But we're certainly ready to try that, consider that, to explore more and to do a better job by delivering value to the business, to our customers, to our employees and making a safer environment to everybody.
Absolutely. Sounds like a win-win-win. And many thanks to Cargill's Enrique Villars for sharing his insights on automated systems, plant worker training, and other improved efficiencies at Cargill's Factory of the Future program. And thanks to the sponsor of this episode, Paratherm. And of course, thanks to you, our Meeting Pod listeners, for tuning in this week. That's a wrap. Until next time.
Remember to tune in on Mondays to get the inside track on the people and the processes that drive the protein industry. Be sure to subscribe to Meeting Pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Meeting Place and Alt Meat Magazines on social media, and be sure to visit our websites at meetingplace.com and altmeat.net.